Okay, Familiemoord 2022. Familiemoord is probably the wine with the worst name we have, but also the most most well-known story of all of our wines. And the name has got to do, it's got nothing to do with the actual wine in the bottle. So back in 2013, I did not own a press, so I couldn't press my white grapes. I had a press, but it was a red wine press. I could only do red wine, not white in it. So I took a tank with a sieve inside. So I would then, if I want to make white wine, I would take the berries, destem them off the stems, pump them into this tank, break the berries so that the juice can flow out. And as the juice flow out, I would drain it into a container, like a tank. And then, and then the skins, the next morning, I'll take the skins, I'll throw it out, and I just chuck it away. So the skins, when I threw it away, was pulp and skins, still wet, lots of juice trapped inside the pulp, but I couldn't get it out. So I decided to make a rosé, and I picked Grenache. Noir, red Grenache, destemmed it into my tank, and then drained it over 3 days, all the juice, into a little tank, and it was pinkish in color. First bit was actually quite white, and then it went darker as time went on. The longer time it spent on the skin, the more color it extracted from the skins. So I had all my rosé in a tank, and then I took the skins, I put it into a container to throw away, and I forgot about it. Friday. The next Monday, I arrived at the cellar, and I said, oh my goodness, yes, we've got the skins inside a bin liner, you call it. It's like it's a wooden crate with a plastic liner inside, and it started fermenting. So I decided to leave it. So I left it, and it fermented dry. And as it fermented, the what you call the pectina, the sliminess, it breaks down in the pulp of the grape, and then it releases juice. So at the end, I could basically almost fill a whole barrel of the juice that I got from these sort of pulpy, dry skins. But then what happens is you get an over extraction of tannins and color, or whatever you want to call it, but everything that's in the skin, you get an over extraction of that when it comes to the juice, because it's got this massive high skin versus juice ratio. And we made a wine from that. So at that point, that was in 2003, I bought a house in the Strand. Let's leave that story to the very end. So nowadays, we make the wine in exactly the same way. So just to clarify something, it's not a wine-making philosophy that this is the way we want to make our wines. We drain all the juice off and only ferment like a lot of skins with juice. It's only for this wine we do it. And the reason why we do it is that's the way it started. And I want to stay true to the story behind the wine. So it's, like I say, not a philosophy. It is basically the way it started, and we keep it the same. And so when we made this year, or that 22, our volume is a lot higher, bigger now. So all the grapes come from an old bushvine vineyard in sandstone on the Pikeniers Kloof. That's north of Piketberg on the mountain. So it's very high altitude. It's beautiful old bushvine vineyard, and we get a component of the grapes, and the rest goes to Citrus Del Keller, the big cellar. But now we've got this big open top tank, and we basically destem the grapes, we break the berries, and we pump it into this tank. But then I have a sieve that I put into the bottom of the tank, and the sieve I then is connected to a small pipe in a pump that drains the juice. So constantly as we destem into this tank, I would pump the juice off into another tank. And you can't just fill the tank with skins and then drain off the juice and just pump it out. It doesn't work like that. It slowly drains out. So you have to sit there the whole day and pump off as it goes on. And it's very interesting to watch this whole thing, because on the one side of the tank where the skins fall, you just throw the skins on the same place. It forms like a huge mountain of skins. But in that mountain, all the juice is trapped. So it forms like a physical mountain, it forms rivers that becomes like permanent rivers down the mountain. So the skins will fall to the top, the juice will drain out, it will filter through the skins and literally filter through the skins. So all the dirty stuff gets trapped in the skins, it drains to little rivers, and then the rivers form permanent rivers as it runs down this mountain of skins into little dams, and then the dam will fill, and suddenly the dam will pump juice from the bottom, and when the bottom juice goes out, the dams will overflow, and more juice will run down this mountain into the little dams and to the very bottom when I pump it out. So it became like a huge landscape, which was fascinating for me to see. In any case, that's besides the point. And yes, we still make the wine exactly the same way. It's super concentrated skin versus juice. But the story behind the wine is a long story. So familiemoord means family murder. And it started at... I bought a new house in the Strand. And the place that I bought has got a lot of black soil on the property. But all those properties are actually built on sand dunes. So below the surface of most of these homes, there's pure white ocean sand. But on my property, due to garden services or gardening purposes, a lot of black soil was driven in. So there's no white soil left on my property. And I wanted to build a sand pit for my kids to play in, like a big hole in the ground filled with white sand. And I knew my neighbor. He's got a big property. He sold his property to somebody else. Nobody was living there. It was in that transfer phase. So I knew under his grass there's pure white sand. So I took my little wheelbarrow and I went all the way into the street onto his property. Without asking permission, I drove onto his big lawn and I took my spade and I chopped out little blocks of grass, like the size to open up the pure white sand, the size of a small grave, I would say. So the blocks of grass I neatly took out, and then I started digging in and I got pure white sand. So I started filling my wheelbarrow. I took the white sand all the way to my property. Put it next to my big hole in the ground, and I would fill the wheelbarrow with white sand. I took the white sand from his property, chucked it into my hole, filled the wheelbarrow with black soil from my property, and then take it all the way to his property and put it next to the hole. So I was doing that the whole of the Saturday, because the property or the hole was quite big. So when my hole was full of white sand, and that was now towards the end of the day, it was starting to get starting to get dark. Then he had this really big hole on his property. So as it got dark, I was on his property. I walked up to my son. I said, "Come on, man, I'm going to put you into this hole as I fill the hole with black soil." And you know, you play on the beach some days, and where you take your buddy and you make a hole, you bury him in the sand so only his head sticks out, that kind of thing. So I took my son, I grabbed him, I walked to the hole, and I dropped him into the hole. And the hole was deep, so he completely disappeared into this hole. He was probably 6 years old. And then I took my spade and I started covering with soil. But the problem was, the moment when I walked up to my son, there was kids playing in the street. And it's got quite of a lower wall at the property. And one of the kids, he looked over the wall for some odd reason. I don't know why. He looked into this property. It was vacant. Nobody lived there. The garden was overgrown. It was getting dark. And I was walking up to my boy, grabbing him and chucking him into this hole. That moment when I did that, they watched me. And the guy called his friends. They were all 16 years old. And they watched me as I threw soil onto my son. And they thought I killed him and I am busy burying him on this vacant property. They ran home and they told their mom they just witnessed a murder. And the guy is now busy burying the body on this vacant property. The mom said, "It's dark now. We can't do anything about it." So the next morning, when I was done, I took the pieces of grass. I neatly packed them back where the hole. I sprayed sand over it so nobody could see I was there. So the next morning, the mom came out with their whole, with all the kids. They looked at this place. They phoned up the police. They said to the police that this is what happened. The police said this is a crime scene. So they took one of those crime scene barriers, those yellow tapey things. They put it around this whole property. It was Sunday, so they can't dig up a body on a Sunday. There's regulations that prevent them of doing that. So they, they put a guard there with a dog to watch the hole till the next morning. So the Monday came. So I lived next door. I drove past there. I didn't see a thing. So sometimes, you don't look around you so much. It's one of those times. And then the Monday, they had to get permission to dig up the body. They did that. I arrived home from work around 3 o'clock. And when I arrived home, my wife was doing Pilates in the living room. And she's an ex-Pilates teacher. And she probably had the very first Pilates studio ever in Somerset West. Now there's like hundreds. But in any case, she was doing Pilates in the living room. And she said, I must join her. So I put on my pajamas because I didn't have like exercise clothes. I bought these like tie-dye pants in Indonesia like probably 10 years before that, where my friends actually tricked me. They said it looks beautiful and actually so ugly. They kind of tricked me to buy it. But in any case, that was the pants I had on. I had this old t-shirt on and I was doing Pilates. And then my phone rang and it was one of the neighbors, and he said, listen, there's big trouble. There's police everywhere. So I looked out the window and there was like, you know, when you have a lot of police at one spot, people see that and everybody just gets curious and they just run and also see it. So there was people mixed with police vans and a big thing. And I told my wife, keep the kids inside so I can go out and investigate. The big problem I had, so if you take the wine on the label, that's not a designed label. That's the real newspaper article I took from the Cape Argus. I just took a picture of it. It's called The Mystery of the Boy in the Sand Pit. So I didn't write that article. It's written by a journalist from the Cape Argus. On my face, you'll see there's kind of a, I think it's on the right hand side of my face, there's a kind of a shadowy kind of look. That's not a shadow, that's half a beard. So at that stage, I asked my wife that, is it okay if I for 8 weeks only shave half my face? She said it was fine. So I shaved exactly half of my face, the other half became a beard. So I was 6 weeks into this thing. I had a full-on beard, 6 weeks old beard on the one side of my face and the other side nothing. So I looked kind of ridiculous, but I came out and I said to the guys, listen, what's happening here? My neighbor said there was a murder next door. I ended up with this police guy. I said, listen, I'm the neighbor, maybe I can help. Maybe I've seen something. Then he directed me to this inspector guy. And this guy was standing more closer to the scene. And I went to him and said, listen, I'm the neighbor. I live just here. Maybe there's something I've seen I can help you with. He said, no, there was a murder. Someone killed a kid and he buried him in a shallow grave. And I was thinking, oh my word, that's horrible. And I said to the guy, okay, but when did it happen? He said, no, it happened on Saturday. So I was thinking, and I said to him, listen, where did this actually happen? He said, no, they buried him where there was a dog sniffing up and down, there where the dog's at. And I said to him, listen, I think it was me. And he was like looking at me with my half beard and my long hair and my pajamas pants. And he called up these 16-year-old kids. And they were saying, and they saw me and they said, that's the guy. That's the guy that did it. And it was like a complete misunderstanding. It was a big thing. I had to go, obviously, to my house, call out my kids. My son came out. He was dressed as a pirate. My daughter as a ballerina. We were standing there as this odd family. My wife looked beautiful. She was the only person that looked normal. And then we were standing there as this odd family, me with my half beard, everybody around us. It was super embarrassing. I immediately went in that evening and shaved off my half a beard. But it's something that got out of hand. I had to speak on the radio. I was in the paper. It was just a huge thing. And when I arrived at the cellar, like a couple of days later, I realized that, goodness, it's not every day that someone suspects you of killing your son. So this is such a cool story. I'm going to call, I had this weird wine in the cellar. So I called it Familiemoord. And that is the story of Familiemoord. Sorry, this is a long voice note, but there's no other way of doing it.